This meeting is private. Bearing false witness, misrepresentation, and posting inflammatory rhetoric in public forums is forbidden and shall be addressed in the appropriate matter. To eliminate all conflict and false allegation, is there anyone in attendance at today's meeting that is a member or an agent of any law enforcement agency or public agency of the federal, state, county, city, or township agencies present? Is there any response of witnesses for the first time? This meeting is private. Bearing false witness, misrepresentation, and posting inflammatory rhetoric in public forums is forbidden and shall be addressed in an appropriate matter. To eliminate all conflict and false allegations, is there anyone in attendance at today's meeting that is a member or agent of any law enforcement agency or public agency of the federal, state, county, city, or township agencies present? Is there any response of the witnesses for the second time? This meeting is private. Bearing false witness, misrepresentation, and posting inflammatory rhetoric in public forums is forbidden and shall be addressed in an appropriate manner. To eliminate all conflict and false allegations, is there anyone in attendance at today's meeting that is a member or agent of any law enforcement agency or public agency of the federal, state, county, city, or township agencies present? Is there any response of witnesses for the third time? Hearing none. Anyone who is here under false pretense, anyone who is working for any foreign government, including the territory of the United States or municipal in the United States, anyone who is being paid or coerced to be here must fully disclose their presence and purpose now or leave the premises or conference call. If they subsequently show up as federal witnesses, they are discredited for failure to disclose. Okay. Today, before I start, this is December the 21st, 2025. Union State meeting. Keith, do you want to say a prayer for everybody?
I'd be honored, my brother. Yes, I would. If you're not wanting to pray, just go ahead and mute me right now, or pray in your own manner. Father God, we just come together, Lord. Your word declares not to forsake the fellowship of the brethren, Lord. So we are coming together. We ask that you would please come in and to our meeting and guide us, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Father God, that we can listen and learn in reestablishing the government that you put into place, Lord. God bless Rocky and for all of his efforts, and Tamara and Aaron and all the folks that are contributing and helping us to move forward. Lord, we just pray right now you'd bless everybody on this call, bless their families, bless their finances, Father God. We just ask that you would bless their health, restoration, and healing in their lives, we pray for. And we say these things in the mighty, precious name of Yahshua, Jesus the Christ. So be it. I yield.
Thank you, Keith. Okay, the first thing I'm going to start off with, I'm going to share my screen here. Should I get the right one? Okay, everybody can see my screen. One of the things that we talked about is we need to get everybody to fill out this form. If you haven't done one already, Craig was actually having everybody fill them out. Basically, this is agreement to be in the jury. There's our mission statement for what Nevada jury. Now, I was going to make a new one of these. And when I was going through the videos that I told you guys to go through on the Jural Assembly videos that are online, when I was going through those, one of the things that they said in there was a qualification to the state Jural Assembly also qualifies you as part of your county Jural Assembly and vice versa. So if you're in a county Jural Assembly, you're in the state of Jural Assembly, so we really don't need another form, which I did create another form for the counties, and we're going to basically get rid of that form and only use the state one. So that way, anybody that signs this here can also participate in the international juries too, with the state would sue. So when they build up their courts and whatever, if we if they need a jury or poll or whatever, all of us could then actually get in those juries too, and be a jury in that jury assembly in those courts. Okay? So I was going through and I noticed that there was three or four different versions of this. This one here is the original one that Craig created and the one that we've been using for 4 or 5 years. And we want to go back to this one. We don't want any other changes or modifications. This is the original one from the jury books, you know, that Anna created in the articles that she said this is what should be said in them. Okay? So basically you're going to go to the bottom here. If you have somebody or two people that can witness for you, you know, have them witness and sign it too, you know, on the day, and then you sign it, you know, in this board here. Okay? And then wherever you're living at, you're living in Las Vegas or Nevada, basically, and then they're going to witness in where they're living too.
Right? Hey, Rocky?
Yes, sir?
Do we have a place where we have a list of all the folks that that compiled this list already that we've all done already as well? I mean, for the folks that have done it already, do we have a place that where we know who all has done it? I yield.
We don't right now, and that was going to be my next little thing is – basically, in the LRO that I'm creating, whatever, we're going to put a place in there for you to upload, you know, for the recording secretary to upload your paper here. And then we're going to have a, because we're going to need this for the secretary for the courts, needs to know who all the jury pool is so that they can start trying to fill the jury for each case, right? So we do need that, and we're going to build that. So right now,
do we have, I remember the last meeting, one of the last meetings we had, we all filled those out. Do we know where those, all those ended up by any chance? I yield.
Aaron has every one of them. Okay.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
So what I'll do is I'll get with Aaron, whatever, and then we'll get a place where we can put them all in. And then we can get a tally of who they are and get a list, you know, for the courts and all that. So we, you know, that's one of the things that we have to build is we need to know who filled these out, right? And to get those, you know, so that we know who the jury pool is that we can pull from, right? Without that paper, then you really can't be a part of the jury. And then the other part of it is depending on which court that you are going to participate in, if you're, say you're an ASN, you're a state national, right? You can participate in any county, you know, in the union state, any county courts, okay? But to be in the international jurisdiction courts, which is the state courts, you have to be a state citizen, okay? If you become a juror in one of those courts, then you're temporary a state citizen while you're in that court. Okay? Michelle, you got your hand up before I go on?
Yes. I also have a physical copy in the records of the people that I hold here at the house. So if you want me to go through and make a list, I'll do that.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on. I mean, get them separated so you have them. That way, when we get ready to put them in the system so that we can get, you know, like, so the secretary for the court can actually pull the jury pool and look through them, then that's, we got to get it in one spot to where everybody, you know, where the courts actually can see it, right? So we do need to pull them all together. Thank you, Michelle.
No problem.
Going back to, okay. The other thing, just because you're like, I'm going to read through some of the stuff that I wrote down. Okay, so the deal is to be in the jury too, in the pool, or to be able to sign this piece of paper, there is qualifications. One of them is that you have to be a landowner, which is, again, we can consider our bodies as landowners in the state, right? The other thing is you got to be over 21, right, to be in a jury, you know, in the pool. So there's certain qualifications, and we'll get that list. And again, there, if we come up with our own, you know, like one of the qualifications is if you're going to be in a jury for the state, you know, international jurisdiction, then you have to be a state citizen also, Right. So there is different qualifications that you have to fall into. Okay, and then while we're talking about this part of it here, one of the things it says about the jurors, the members of the jural assembly, who decide all matters in the state and county courts, the justice pronounces their sentence. The recorder, you know, the person that does the recording, records them, and the sheriff enforces them. Okay, so that's the process of our courts. So we have a jury, you know, trial on every case, even if we're doing grand juries, we're deciding if there is a case, right? And if there is, then we then send it to the court, and then the court will then try that and indict the whoever it is that we feel that there's a case against them, right? You know, it could be a company, it could be an ASN, ASC, whatever. But the indictments are more of getting all the evidence together and the jury then deciding if there's enough evidence to really have a court on that, right? So that's what the grand juries. There's grand juries. You know, a lot of these questions I've asked Dana last week on the Thursday call because I was trying to figure out which parts of the courts are what. There is a grand jury in your county. There's a grand jury in your state. And then there's the federal grand jury, right? So if it's a case within the state or in the county, then you would use the grand jury of the county to actually oversee that and see if there's a case in that county. Now, one of the things that I asked Anna, too, is what if there was a case where it was like somebody in Clark County and then somebody in Nye County? Where would the court be held? And basically what she's saying, it depends on where the incident happened. If it happened in Clark County, then it would go to the Clark County courts. If it happened in Nye County, then it would go to the Nye County courts. So it's not, you know, like the jurisdiction is wherever the actual incident happened. Is there any questions on that or what we're talking about? Okay. I'm hearing none. So anyway, that's basically how the courts, and then also too, the county can hear courts against companies, but it depends on what kind of case it is. If it's a case where the company actually trespassed on a ASN, then the county courts can actually take those up and go against the deal. But once it becomes international, then it has to go to the state courts. And then our state courts would then hear those cases. You know, it's like you'll see a case, it's like, you know, Joe versus the state of Nevada or whatever, right? Those ones would then end up in the state courts and not in your county court. Because they're international, you know, because corporations are international. And again, that depends, too, on different, there's like, let me read this thing here. It says, there are basically jurisdiction problems. You got the air, land, sea, and three basic capacities: unincorporated, incorporated, and incorporated, in which we may have functions. So a total of 9 different basic combinations. Okay. So what that means is it depends if the case is in the air, in the land, or in the sea, right? And when we're talking land, we're talking also soil and land. So if it's a soil and land type thing, it could be in the county. But once it hits, you know, if it's incorporated, right, if it's a corporation or an incorporated, then it's a state jurisdiction, which means you'd have to go to the state courts, okay? So this is what we have to, you know, the person that's the secretary for the courts that actually sets up the cases, whatever, are going to have to overlook this to see where is the jurisdiction of that case. Where should we really be trying it, right? You know, is it against a corporation? Is it and gets incorporated? If it's unincorporated, then we can do it in our counties or, you know, in the state too, right? But once it becomes corporate or incorporated, then that kind of pulls it over into a error C type case, which then means it has to go into our state courts. Does everybody understand that piece? So what I'm trying to do is lay out what our courts are and where they, you know, what jurisdictions our courts are in and where we can actually try things. So, you know, it's like if we had the Leos actually, you know, stop somebody, do something to them, whatever, right? Because now that's a municipal court, but because it's in our county, then we can run it through our county courts and go after them to try to help that person that that court is trying to trespass on. And these are the things that we got to get built. The next, and that was one of the things that I wrote down from one of the Anna's article thing, is that an allele attempts to arrest or detain us while we're in peaceful pursuit or in private business. We're empowered to invoke the Bill of Rights and the Article 4 of the Federal Constitution. So those are our rights, you know, and the Bill of Rights and that they don't have the right to be stopping us or detaining us, okay? So this one of the things you got to remember is you always got to cite the Bill of Rights and Article 4 of the Constitution. It gives you the right to be able to peacefully, you know, on your private business, move around without them detaining you or arresting you, okay?
That's a big one, folks. The Bill of Rights, Article 4. Bill of Rights, Article 4.
Yeah, you got to say that to them so that they know that what you're standing under, right? I'm reading through some of my notes here, so I'm trying to come up, you know, give you guys all the stuff that I run into. Okay, the other thing says that we are the ones that are supposed to run our state courts. We have our own state legislation meetings regularly. This is what self-governance means. Like, people always ask you that you got a self-governance or whatever, right? Self-governance means that we're running our own state courts. We have our own state legislatures meeting regularly, and this is what the self-government means. Nobody can do it for you, even if they want to. It means that for us to self-governance, we all have to stand up and start running our courts and start, you know, doing what we need to do. You know, have our own regular meetings, you know, building our courts, building our legislators, all that kind of stuff. We need to do that. Otherwise, we're not self-governing. The other thing that people were wondering about, too, is the words the United States or the United States of America. Okay, what the United States means with a capital T is soil jurisdiction. Okay, that's the United States. So when we do our documents for our courts and whatever, for the counties, we would use the United States. For the state, we would use the United States of America. That's land jurisdiction. Okay, so if it has of America on it, that means we're in the land in international jurisdiction. If it just says the United States, we're in the soil jurisdiction. A lot of people didn't know that, and that's important to know which United States you're in or you're working with. And then the other thing that was in those documents, it says it is not uncommon for there to be more than one state general assembly in operation at the same time, in the same state, at the same time. This is not any big reason for concern, or certainly not a source of competition. And what they're meaning is that we could be running a state, you know, general assembly in the southern part of Nevada, and then we can have a northern general assembly, you know, to run the state courts up in the beginning. But there's no competition between them. They would be working together, coordinate with each other. So there could be, you know, like Anna was saying, there could be multiple state general assemblies. And don't worry about that. Then I'm going to go to now stating what is a state national. A state national is everyone born within the physical geographical borders of the state. Okay? So if you were born or nationalized or whatever in Nevada, you're a state national. Okay? A state citizen is those state nationals who's additionally chose to serve the state government in some capacity, such as a juror, a militia member, elected official, or hired officer, you know, like the sheriff or whatever, right? Those are considered state citizens. So just because you're in Nevada and you don't choose to help the government in any way, you're a state national. If you help in anything becoming a juror, at the time you're a juror, the time you're, you know, acting as a militia member or any of those, then you're considered a state citizen. Okay? And then we have what we call state electors. Those state nationals who own land in the state and meet other requirements such as legal age, etc., to participate in the state election. So you would have, you're basically to be an elector, you actually have to own physical land in the state and be state, basically a state citizen, over 21, those kind of things to be an actual state elector. And when we get into the state electors, basically you're going to pick three delegates from each county, and those are going to be your electors up into the state, okay? So those are the reasons they want to make sure that you're you have some kind of, you know, tie to the to Nevada. So there's going to be different, you know, requirements that you'll have to meet to actually be able to be a state elector. Not any state national can be a state elector. Okay? And then one of the basic, like, decorums or whatever that we establish in any state or whatever is the national soil jurisdiction is harm none and be harmed none. So it's basically, it's like you don't harm anybody, they don't harm you. And that's in that video in part 26, if you want to actually watch that. Okay, it's in the international land jurisdiction where the state of the union naturally abides, right? So that's the part that Sue and them are doing. That's in the state of the union. There is no living people, okay? Because international jurisdiction, you're not a living person. You're, you know, instead we function as people with a capital P, okay? So you're still a people in the international whatever, but the international jurisdiction is not living people, okay? The state citizens are functioning as officials and officers of our states, like the jurors, the sheriffs, the justices, electors, and so on, while state nationals function as inheritors and may also be electors, okay? So basically, once you're, the difference, like a lot of people say that you're a people of the state. Well, it depends if it's a capital P or a lowercase p. If it's a lowercase p, then you're one of the people of the counties of the soil jurisdiction, okay? If you're a capital P, then that means you're in the international jurisdiction of the state, okay? So it depends on how you're writing things to justify who you are and what jurisdiction you're working under, right? So when we're working into juries, you know, if you're working in a county jury, then you're using the small people, you know, P people, in the state, in the county, right? Because that's the sole jurisdiction people. And if you're working, if you're in the courts for the international or the state of the union, then you're a capital P people in those courts. Has everybody got that so far on where we're going? Okay. Mm-hmm. Want to get down here to Okay. What I was talking about is this Jural Assembly Secretary. They're the person that will need all of those pieces of paper on who is a juror. They're the ones that actually creates the minutes. They create basically everything they need, to create the court. They get the jury pool, they pick the jurors for whatever case it's going to be, and that's our main person that we're going to need, is somebody to organize the courts itself, right? So for us to have a court or whatever, we have to have a court recorder and this Jural Assembly Secretary that actually then takes what the court recorder is recording. This person, the secretary, would then create the case numbers, create the venue of what justice is going to be, overseeing that, with the jury, and then keep all the records. They're going to actually keep all the minutes for the courts, keep everything that's going on in that case, all the way to the end where the jury actually makes their deliberation and then hands that to the justice, and then the justice then so orders whatever the jury says. Now, people don't realize that our justice is of the peace in the counties, and our justices in the state do not make any verdicts or make anything. All they do is basically whatever the jury comes up with, and they so order it, right? And they can't modify it, they can't change it, they can't do anything. All they can do is put it on the record that this is so what it is. So we got that part? Everybody? Okay.
Yep, sounds
so
good.
So, and then this one here is the recorder. The recorder is one of the most important things because they're going to make sure that the records are safe. They're recorded in where they need to be recorded for each case. Any papers that come in for that case, they're going to record them. And basically a bondsman is going to, if they're asked anything about if the documents are in the, that's been recorded, whatever, or true or whatever, then they have to verify that all these documents that the recorder recorded is for the case and it is true and in fact, right? So that's one of our next people that we got to get the recorder. Again, I'm going to be working on a application that the recorder, so we can store all of our documents, right? That's one of the deals of the recorder. And then you got the court clerk. The court clerk sets up the venue of the court cases. This is, they're determined where a case belongs. This is what I was talking about in the court and the jurisdiction, what jurisdiction they need to be in. So the jury secretary is going to be working with the court clerk and figuring out which jurisdiction it's going to be in, which justice type it's going to be. Is it going to be a justice for the state, or is it going to be a justice of the peace for the counties or the soil jurisdiction, right? So these two people would be working better. But the court clerk is, as it says in here, this can be determined simply by asking the people coming to our courts are members of the state jural assembly, and by looking at the subject in the case, does it involve one of the people, capital P, or does it involve things that occur in other boundaries of our state or at the county level inside of our counties? It is a issue that pertains to the land and soil and to the actual fictional people and things. That is our jurisdiction, okay? So they're going to determine which jurisdiction, which court, the court clerk is going to decide which court it's going to be in, right? One of the things that I asked Anna is if the jurors can be in any court. And she says, depending on the juror, because if they're international, they got to be a citizen, right? And if they're not, then they can be in the county courts, if they're just an ASN. So it also, that's one of the things the court clerk's going to decide, with the secretary, the jural secretary, is if the person it's going to be in the jury qualifies, right, to be in that court, right? If they're going to be in an international court or they're going to be in a county court, you know, like a soil court or a land court or air and sea, right? So that's what these people are going to be doing, right? They're going to be determining where these court cases are going to go, and then they're going to build them. Then they'll send them off. You know, they'll pick the which justice or justice of peace, depending on where jurisdiction it's in, you know, that's going to be overseeing that court case. Does that make sense to people on where we're going? So, again, we need to get people in the, you know, at least if we can start in these at least three different, you know, areas so that we can start working on the paperwork. You know, I have a lot of paperwork that Craig created for our courts on how we submit cases, that kind of stuff. I think Carlos said that he wanted to go through a lot of those documents and actually work them up for us and come up with other things. So I've been sending some of that stuff to Carlos. He will look over those documents and stuff so that we can come up with what kind of paperwork is needed to file in our courts, right? And also, if we have a verdict, what does the verdict paper look like, you know, that we would send to, like, if it's a something that we're going to send to the de facto, what does it look like? And again, like Mark and Jennifer talked about, they would actually try to come up with our logo for our court papers. So, you know, if they can be working on that and we can get those, that's the other thing, because we have to have some official, you know, stamp or logo or something on our documents. So when we do send them, like, to the de facto or whoever, that we know it come from our court, right? Because it would be our copyrighted seal that would be on those documents. And no, that's the next thing that we actually need to start working on those now. I don't know if Jennifer's had time to look at any of that yet, or but I don't see Mark on the call right now. But I will talk to him later.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Hey, I haven't had a chance yet. I was wondering if anybody has any ideas of their own. If they want to send me those ideas, they can send me through my email or a text message. I can leave it in the chat section.
Okay. That's a good idea, Jennifer. Is if anybody has any kind of little artwork or something that they think may be relevant or maybe something we could use, yeah, send it to Jennifer and Mark so that, you know, if anybody needs their emails, whatever, just email me, you know, at the coordinator at the Nevada Assembly, gov.land, and I'll get it to them.
And so what kind of artwork are we talking about? To the seal for the courts?
Yeah, the seal for the courts.
Does the seal need to have any kind of shape in particular in regards to, like, the state of Nevada or the county or anything like that?
It just needs to be open, no round circles around it, that kind of thing. But okay. we actually need two, one for the state, one for the county, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we know what jurisdiction that this seal came from, right? Or which court, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, I don't know if it could look like a courtroom or look like a gavel, look like a, you know, come up with some kind of picture, you know what I'm saying, that we can put on it, and then we'll work out the wording that's going to be actually on that seal for the court, right?
Okay. And do the colors matter or anything like that? Does it have to tie in with any kind of other icons that are being used for the county?
No, it does not.
Okay.
The court is its own little world, you know what I'm saying? And it needs to be acting like its own, you know, because...
And then one more question, the size. Does the size of the icon matter in terms of having to put it on paper? Does it have to be, you know, 2 inches high, 2 inches wide?
That's the normal size. I would say no bigger than 4x4. You got to remember, because it's going to cover up some of the document, right?
Right.
So 2x2 is probably, I mean, we can discuss that and everybody can decide on a size. But that's kind of normal, I think.
Okay.
So if you have some ideas too, Alex, I mean, Alexi.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got some ideas.
See what you can throw to us, and I can get to those two, and they can actually design something for us.
Cool. Sounds great.
I mean, that's one of the things before we can do our courts and everything, we have to have some legal or lawful, basically, some lawful thing that says this is our court and this is came from our court, right?
Correct.
So that's the other thing we need to work on.
All right.
That's what I wanted to talk about for that part of it. The next thing I want to talk about is we don't have any real good decorum document, and I created this. I started creating this one here because all the other states, and even our state, their decorum one is, to me, is lacking. Okay, and what I mean by lacking is we should never create any document that one or two people have full control over what goes on. This, you know, everything that we do should be the people, right, determining what goes on and not what goes on, right? So we don't want to ever, no matter what we do in any documents or anything that we do, that we're going to say, well, John makes the final decision on everything. That isn't how we work. It's the assembly makes the decision on everything, okay? So we got to be careful when we're creating documents and stuff that we don't give authority or somebody to roll over us, right? So what I did is I come up with this one. I'm going to read some of it here to you. This is just an introduction to the decorum thing that I've created. The effectiveness of our assembly depends on maintaining a respectful, positive, productive, and lawful environment for all of the men and women. As we work together to restore and operate our lawful government, it's critical to recognize and address disruptive behavior in our meetings and discussions that may hinder our progress or undermine our principles. The purpose of this guide is to help assembly men and women in identifying disruptive behavior that can negatively impact our efforts. It says, by being aware of these destructive behaviors in our meetings and decisions, we can preserve the integrity and functionality of our assembly, ensure all status-corrected people, a capital P, lower P, people, so people in state, people in the counties, so land and soil, can participate freely without any attacks. Maintain focus on our core objectives in our work discussions and of our assemblies. Protect our assemblies from potential infiltration and sabotage. Uphold the principles of self-governance and individual rights. Now, you guys can read the part of that, but that's my goal on what I feel is, you know, disruptive or whatever. If anybody is trying to stop us from doing what we're doing, or, you know, trying to overrun the meetings or try to stop us from having meetings, then we need to look at this, because this would be what it is. And then I go into types of disruptive behavior. This is a list. I'm not going to read them all. But it goes through for purposeful disruptions, coordinated disruptions, harassments, threats, gaslighting, disorderly conduct, right? Bullying, bearing false witness, theft of assembly assets, fraudulent financial activities, undermining asset structures, okay? And those are, you know, just guidelines. I want you guys to go through these. If you know if there's any other ways or we should word it different or whatever, go through each one of these. It's in the download, so you guys can download it and look through it and make changes. I just drafted this up literally 2 days ago, okay? And I was glad that the California gave me their outline. I took our outline from our state. I kind of combined it, you know, like put them together into something I think is more of what we should be doing, okay? The next thing is, how do we report, you know, our reporting rules? How do we report that, and who do we report it to? As I put in here, the disruptive behavior reported is that there's an email template I'm going to come up with. You're going to send it to the coordinator, the moderator of the meeting, the budsman, and the oversight committee. Okay, you're going to do this within 48 to 72 hours. If you feel like that somebody is being disruptive or, you know, not doing what they should be doing, you know, to try to stop us from doing whatever, then we need you to write, to use this email template and write up something to these people, okay? If it's during a meeting, I think it says in here the either the marshal alarms or the moderator can mute you during the meeting and explain to you during the meeting what's going on, right? And then after that, then we would do it, we would report that incident to these people, okay? So again, I'm setting it up to where there's not one person. So we're going to send it to the budsman committee, the oversight committee, and the coordinator. Now, we also could add in here the marshal alarms if we want to do that. I left that one out. I don't know why, but we can add that in there too. But again, I want you guys to go through this and basically say, how do we, you know, how is anybody able to, you know, say that somebody's disruptive or whatever, okay? And then we have records of what it is. And then the next step of it, when you read through this, then I have the investigation process. This is what those committees and those people would do by gathering. This is the kind of evidence that they would gather, okay? And this is only has to do with the incident that happened. This is not going into your background and looking at things, not going, you know, 10 years back and say, well, this guy's disruptive because of this. This is only grabbing evidence about what they did at the time to be disruptive, okay? And these are the steps that they would follow, right, to determine if there even was disruption or not, or if the person reporting it, you know, just doesn't know what disruption is, okay? Then we get into, these are all of the deals, and then we're also going to have an appeals committee that we would create. So like, say if we, somebody was disruptive, we thought they were disruptive, and they went through the whole process, and they said, okay, you're going to have the next meeting, you're not going to be, you know, going to be in the meeting because you were disruptive. Then that person will have a way to appeal that decision and tell why that they feel that they wasn't disruptive, okay? So we always have to give the people also a chance to give their side to things. And that's what I put in here. So we have that the appeals part of it. And then this right here is what we consider how we would discipline people. These are what we would have to do. You know, and you're, the key principle, it's like, you know, like progressive timeout processes. So the first incident, you know, would be, I think I put in here, the next meeting would be timed out, right? The second one would be one or two meeting timeouts, right? So it's got to be a progressive thing that we come up with. And again, this can be modified or whatever, but you don't just say somebody you're totally out of, you know, the assembly completely. That isn't what we do either, right? That's what this persistent disruption behavior. If you'll notice in here, I never say anything about throw you completely out of the assembly. We cannot do that. Now, we can say that you can't be in the meeting for a year or whatever, and then they can appeal that, and then we can go through the appeals process and then decide if they need to be back in. And then the next part of it is, how do we let people know that they're going to be returned from a timeout process? You know, because the deal, if they are still disruptive after their timeout, whatever, you know, it's like, when do we let them return? So this is information that I put in there to determine how are we going to determine and what are we going to do to let them know that they're back in you know, because currently right now, nobody knows when they're going to get back in after a timeout, okay? So we have to have some process, right? And that's as far as I got on it so far, you know, on this document. You know, I spent a whole day writing it and coming up with this information. I want everybody to definitely go through it and let me know what you think. I mean, I'd like to get a little discussion right now on what you guys think about people being disruptive. So if anybody wants to talk, go ahead.
Rocky, it's Fa'ana.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to state as far as, like, we can base it on as far as the severity of it. I mean, because it all depends on the situation as far as disruptive. I like the how you outlined it as far as the process is concerned.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, if the outline needs to change too, I mean, that's good too, because the deal is, the way I was looking at it is that somebody's disruptive, we report it, and they do the investigation on it, and then we let the person know what the investigation come out with, or and the assembly, right? And then they have a choice to appeal it or not, or just to go ahead and take the time out, right? And then how do we let them know when they can come back in, right? That was my thought pattern when I did this.
I think that they will know if they're, by the time that they're on a timeout, that's after three warnings, right? So by then they'll know that their behavior is not something that we're all very comfortable with. So I would think for sure after three warnings they would be ready for being on a timeout. I yield.
Hey, that's one thing I didn't put in there, and that'd be a good situation. The deal is that we report it and say the first three reportings, or one reporting or two reporting, there's no real, you know, there's no disciplining actions at that time. It's just letting them know, you keep doing this, then we are going to do disciplining or actions, right? So that's one thing I didn't think about, and we can change this part of it for that. That's a good one, Keith. Any more? So the whole reason of doing this is we need to keep as many people in this. And just because somebody has a opinion of something and we don't like that opinion doesn't mean that they're disruptive, right? And that's what we have to get out of. We have to determine what is disruptive and what is not. And that's the reason for the investigation, and to look at it, you know, and have multiple people looking at it to determine, you know, and them organizing together. If you read it, it says that they would then get together, each committee, you know, it's like the oversight, the budsman, and the coordinator, and they would talk it out on their different opinions in those different committees and stuff, right? And then determine if there is any, if they even were disruptive or not. They may not have been. They may just have had an opinion about something, and just because somebody didn't like it doesn't mean that's disruptive, right? Anybody else want to say something?
Yeah. Rocky, sorry.
Go ahead.
You can develop, like, some type of a tolerance level as far as, you know, min, max, as far as leveling is concerned of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, come up with something like that if we can put in it and look at it. Because there has to be, you know, it's like when we do the investigation part, right, which is what I had this part up here, the investigation. That could be in here. You know, how when we're gathering this information, what is the minimum and maximal, you know, tolerance to what people are saying or doing? You know, because people do get upset, and we have to understand that too, right? So, I mean, this is just the first draft I was coming up with, because I don't like the way all the other states and everything doing it, where it's only the coordinator and the martial arms determine everything. That isn't the way we work. It isn't one or two people should be telling all of us what to do. And I
totally agree, Rocky, 100%. It should not be one or two people.
Right. When they were developing that other decorum one, I put in my document going against what they were saying because of that reason. And basically they said I was being I don't know, disruptive or something that wasn't, you know, being a team player. You know, the deal is that doesn't make you any of those things, because we should never give up any of our, you know, our, I don't know how to say it, you know, give up our rights to things, right? This should be about everything. Anything that we do should be about all of us deciding what is the right thing to do, right? That's how we should be self-governing, I think. Anybody else?
Yes, if I may, Rocky, this is Fitu. I like what you have put out here, and I wanted to bring it to our oversight committee. If it kind of tie in with the oversight process. So I want to bring it to the committee and to see what they think. But I like this, to translate it into an oversight process as well. I yield.
Perfect. That's kind of what I'm thinking, is that because I said that the oversight and the ombudsman and whatever, those committees should be putting their two cents into how this is being investigated, how it's been determined, how we come back with a ruling on it, you know what I'm saying, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'd like each one of those, you know, I'll send it to Tammy, the ombudsman, and I'll send it to the Oversight Committee so you all can get it. But it's in the downloads right now, so you can download it. But, again, we all need to go over this and make sure that we're doing the right things and we're not attacking or, you know, just trying to, you know, just because we don't like somebody, then get them out of the meetings or whatever. We shouldn't be doing that. But we should have a way of talking to them and letting them know that the people feel like we shouldn't do things this way, right? Any more? Okay. So anyway, please, everybody, go through this document. This is, like I said, this is my first draft. I wrote it in one day. And I got it from other documents and stuff and put it all into one. And, you know, I'll end up having, you know, notice it starts with introduction. It doesn't say the Nevada decorum document. It doesn't have the table of contents yet, which I'm going to do. And each one of these, one like the introduction, the types of disrupting behavior, those will be in the table of contents when I build it completely. I have another whole part that has examples that I want to run through on this, on what is disruptive behavior. I have to go through all those. I want to do at least a couple pages or so of examples. And if people want to come up with examples for me, too, to put in it, we can do that, too. So, it's like I said, this is not just me writing this. This is me getting started on you guys putting your input into what you feel like and how we should do, you know, our decorum should be, right? This is just giving you a base of it, right? And what we should be doing.
Rocky, I just want to state that it's awesome, and I appreciate all this, what you're bringing forth. Thank you.
Appreciate it. The reason that I started this is because we're doing our courts and our jural assembly and all that. And we have to have some kind of decorum also for our courts and everything. And this could tie into the courts too. I haven't added a lot of that piece into this, but we should, because the decorum is in everything that we do in our courts, you know, in our jural assemblies and all our meetings, you know, any kind of discussions we have, we should have some kind of way that we say that we're going to talk to each other, right? And that was the reason I started doing this, because I was working on all the court stuff. And I figured, and in all the documents from Anna, whatever, says that you have to have a decorum that the jural assembly secretary and the court clerk and them and the sheriff would use as what's disruptive in the court, right? So that's what I'm trying to come up with. So anybody that even has some ideals, can jot them down for our courts. You know, what is the decorum in our courts? And we can add them to this document. You know what I'm saying? And we can list it as this is a, you know, a court type decorum, right? Anybody else want to say something? Okay. So with that said, that was literally the last thing that I wanted to talk about. Michelle, you're trying to talk or not? Because we can't hear you. Anyway, the next Sunday we're not going to have a meeting because that's Christmas weekend, and everybody should have the time off. Now, we will be having a meeting on the 4th, okay? And that is to, you know, get more in detail of the courts here. And I'm going to try to do a layout within those 2 weeks, you know, of what the court looks like, what positions, you know, like kind of do like maybe a graph or something of like the court and who's where and that kind of stuff. Maybe even draw like a little courtroom and say who's going to be where and whatever and what we're doing and that kind of stuff. Keith, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you again, Rocky. I'm 1,000,000% so grateful for your leadership in this. I feel a feeling of refreshment from the last coordinator call with Anna and her clarifying some things just out and out, outright, for us to just to completely be moving forward 100%. And again, I'm just super grateful for you and everybody that's here with us. We're going to continue to move forward. Let's get our courts up and running so we do have a way to fight back. The Word of God says, despise not small beginnings. Despise not small beginnings. And so these things right here are absolutely epic and important because we are not going away, folks. We are not going away. And we are going to continue to get stronger, whether it's faster or slower, but we're going to continue to get stronger. Rocky, just big hugs, bro. I'm so grateful for all your efforts. I yield.
Thank you. Fiona, you want to say something?
Yes, quickly. As far as the Nevada Assembly agreement, I have a little, it's giving me pause for that statement. It says, I affirm that I have exasperated or from any presumed citizenship obligation owed to the territorial United States and or claim of dual citizenship and hold no allegiance to any foreign power at all. Maybe we can get back to that and rephrase it somehow because I'm kind of misinterpreting it as denouncing my indigenous Lummi nation.
Okay, can you come up with some wording that we all can talk about?
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, the deal is it's supposed to be saying that your allegiance is to the Jural Assembly and to Nevada. But it isn't supposed to be taking away any of your sovereignty. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And who you are as a ASN or ASC, right?
Or Lummi Nation.
Yeah, I just went back through Anna's articles and stuff, and this is how she worded it. Okay. Doesn't mean we have to leave it that way, but
okay. This
is the original way even Craig wrote it from that document.
No worries. I will develop something and send it to you, and maybe we can just send
it. Yeah, and then we could talk about it in one of the next meetings or whatever, right?
Okay.
Because it's got to be everybody agreeing to it, not just me or you, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's something that we all got to be comfortable with on what we're signing here, right?
Exactly.
You know, this is our government. It's not, you know, not even one person's government. So we got to be careful that, like I said, that we don't give authority to one person, you know, in anything we do.
I agree.
Right, because it's not our intent to identify that it's not a foreign power, because Lummi Nation is not.
Right. Yeah, the deal is we got to stay sovereign, and, you know, it's like the old saying is that you know, you have one group of people and they're going after them, and we say, well, that's, I'm not in that group, I don't care. And then eventually you're in that group, you know what I'm saying? So we got to stop it from the beginning. It doesn't matter if we're in the group or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's all of our input that makes the difference. Any
Thank
more?
You, Rocky.
You're welcome. Anybody else want to say anything?
Yeah, I think whatever you could bring, we can refine it too, where it's going to be absolutely awesome to have it in there. It'll be inclusive, but it'll also be something that I think will be powerful. So I look forward to seeing what you come up with, sweetie, and then we can filter it to where we all feel really good about it. I think it's going to be cool. I yield.
Yeah, we got to be able to protect everybody in our state, no matter if you're indigenous or not, or you were born here or not. You know what I'm saying? We got to protect everybody in Nevada. So we don't want to put any wording or anything to exclude anybody. And that's been from my day one of doing this. You know, some of the documents and stuff I've seen, I just didn't like them because they were, you know, leaving certain people out, is the way I say it. And we shouldn't be doing that. And that was the reason why I came up with this decorum one, is to make it more generic and have more of a, that it's the assembly deciding if somebody is disruptive and not a certain people. You know what I'm saying? That's what I was trying to come up with. Any more? Is there any new business or something that anybody else wants to talk about that wasn't on the agenda here? Now, the other thing is, I'm going to pull up, hang on here, so you guys can see it. This was the agenda. Okay. This right here for all the Jural assemblies, if you guys can please watch these videos and go through them, you know, a lot of this information I'm giving you, I'm getting it from this information. This building assembly section 13 was the one here with the people, the pictures. Right? That's this one. And this gives descriptions of each one. If you guys can go through this, kind of familiarize yourself with each one of these positions and what they do. Right? So I put both of those in here in the thing. This is the link to the YouTube for the video for all the Jural assemblies. And if you guys can watch it, we'll give you a little bit more training too on, hang on a minute, am I not sharing? Can you guys see my screen? No, hang on a minute here.
No, I was just about to ask you, is it just me or thank you?
No. Okay, so anyway, this was the agenda is in the deal. Okay.
Now I see.
Okay, in here you'll see the first part of it says we're going over the build assembly section 13. That's this one. Okay. The number four here, I want you guys to watch these videos for all the Jural assemblies, and that's the link to it so that you can just go straight to it. And if, when you first go to it, it'll take you to chapter one, and it automatically goes chapter two, chapter three. Watch as many as you want. They're about 15 minutes each chapter. And then just so that you can see or understand what the whole process, it goes through each one of the actual people that are in the jury and talks about them. So I suggest everybody, when you got time in the next 2 weeks here, watch as much of this. I've been watching it, and what I did is I have, hang on here, I created this document, which is what I read you at the beginning. These are highlights out of that video, okay, of different things that I've seen. So this is in the download too, so you can read it on what it, each thing is, right, and what I got out of the video. And if you get something else or whatever, I'd like to know that too, if there's something else important in there that I missed that everybody should know, right? So it's all of us working together to come up with all of the information I'm trying to give you what I can find, and I'm hoping everybody else actually participates and actually helps pull this information, because a lot of the, like in that video, Anna goes off about a lot of how the de facto is doing it and how we're doing it. I don't care about what the de facto does and whatever, so I kind of skip through that part and then try to get to the parts where it's just pertaining to us, right? But it is kind of good to know the differences between our courts and their courts, right? So please, you know, look at the, you know, the meeting agenda and all the documents in the, you know, in the download, right? And again, if you guys don't remember, I'll do a little quick thing here. If you pull up a web browser and you put in usdownloads.thenevadaassemblygov.land, takes you to here. The union state meetings, if you click on it, will take you to all the meetings that we've ever had. You go to the 1221, which is today, and these are those documents, so that you could just click on them. Now, there, after today, there's going to be another directory in here. Like if I go back one and go to last week, you'll notice there's minutes. These are the recording for this video is going to be in that minutes, and you know, the basically the agenda will change to minutes, and I'll give you my little short little what I thought we talked about. Okay, so again, it's if you always go there, you'll be able to find all of the, you know, the deals, all the meetings. You know, I'll be creating this week another one in here for the 4th. Okay. And I'll start putting my stuff in there. So if you want to get a little ahead of what I'm going to talk about, whatever, you just go in there and look, and the stuff will be in there. Any questions on that? Anybody have any questions or anything they want to talk about? Okay. I suggest if somebody wants us to do a motion to adjourn, then we adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
And you second it?
I second that.
Okay. Everybody that wants to adjourn, say aye.
Aye.
Aye, maybe. Aye.
Anybody aye. That doesn't want to adjourn, say no. Anybody want to stay in? Say yes. Mm-hmm. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for being here. The next meeting will be on the 4th.
You're awesome, you guys. Love you.
Thank you, Rocky. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
You. Merry Christmas, Merry everybody.
Christmas. Merry Christmas. God bless you guys.
Amen. Remember the reason for the season.